How's everybody doing? Man, it's good to see you today. Anybody have a word for the Lord this morning? Well, amen.
Thankful to be saved this morning, brother.
Well, amen. I am too. And I'm thankful you are. Yeah, I'm thankful that you are. You guys are instrumental in me coming to know the Lord. And so if he hadn't got saved, who knows how long it would have taken for the Lord to get a hold of me. Huh? Good stuff. How many of you guys have a weed eater? How many of you love your weed eater? Huh? It is a love hate. I love what it's capable of. Like it better than a hoe? Sometimes I wonder. Unfortunately, yes. But I've also cranked on that weed eater till I give out. I'm going to bring that up here for just a little bit this morning. And then we're going to go into John chapter 13. And I'm going to revisit this, the little dab that I'm going to put out here in the front edge of this at the very end of the message today. I bring that up about the weed eater in here this morning because it is that love, kind of hate, kind of a thing that goes on with it. And what that one I have is very contrary, and I ought to chunk it, but I can't force myself to do it because it will run eventually. But one thing I know, there's a couple of pieces and a couple of things in there that I know have to be there in order for that thing to ever come to life. There's a little clear piece of plastic in there that goes from the reservoir that goes over to the carburetor. That little clear piece of plastic right there has to have something visible in it. If there ain't nothing visible in that little piece of plastic right there, you can crank on that thing all day long. And you're never going to get nothing out of it. Kind of reminds me of church. A little bit. Need to have a little bit of something visible before you crank on it. Huh? A little something visible before you begin to crank in earnest upon the thing. Now see, what we do in church is we crank no matter whether there's something visible or not. We prime and prime and prime and pump that bulb until we give out, and then we crank and crank and crank. And don't matter whether there's something visible or not in there, because we know that when we put out the Word of God that it does not return void. Amen. Amen. But I'll tell you what, it sure is awful encouraging to a preacher to see something visible. Amen. To see something in that little clear piece of tube in there that gives him hope to keep cranking. Amen. Isn't that right? You want to see your people grow. You want to see the things there necessary to get some action out of the other end of it. Huh? We want to see action come out of the other end of this thing. Else there's no reason for us to be where we are or doing what we're doing. So we go on good faith here, believing that there's got to be gas in the line. But the holdup's the carburetor. Even though I sometimes have something visible in the line, I know the problem's down deeper in there. And if you can get the rest of it to cooperate, then what you get out the other end is a lot of productivity in a hurry. Right? John chapter 13. We'll revisit that in a little bit. Beginning in verse 31, it says, "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, listen up," he's talking to you. "Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come, so now I say to you. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now this morning I'm going to require you to throw out all it is that you think you know about love. Because whatever your definition is, it probably isn't what God had in mind when He talks about it. First off, the thing that He tells me in this is that love is commandable. That already messes up your love life, doesn't it? Because everybody wants to think of bells and whistles and fireworks and all kinds of things going off in this emotional roller coaster that we call love. Obviously, that can't be it. Because He says here that love is commandable. So you got to throw out what you already thought about it and move on. Love isn't like, by the way. You see, like is the emotional part of this. Love is the commandable part. Like is the emotional part of things. Love isn't like, because Scripture says you can love things, you can love people you don't like. Now, it's always better if you like the one you love, but it's not necessary. To like is to connect emotionally. Biblical love, definition. Biblical love is a decision to compassionately and righteously seek the well-being of another. Simply put, that is biblical love. A decision to compassionately and righteously seek the well-being of another. How else would we be able to love our enemies? Huh? The Lord said, but I tell you, love your enemies. How else could we possibly do that? Scripture here in the passage that we're just reading also says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. By this new commandment that ye love one another as I've loved you, also that ye love one another here, by this it says that all men can know that you're real. This is how people know whether you're real or not. How they know whether you're genuine in this faith or not. To love each other is a new commandment, it says. That's not new in the respect that this wasn't around before. Love's been around. It's not new in the respect that it's not been around before, but new in relation to what its effect will be. That's what He's talking about here. If this command is heeded and the decision is made to compassionately and righteously seek the well-being of others, then the effects will be new. The effects will be different than they ever have been prior. Let me throw one at you that I think came up in the song service this morning, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves His Son. The Son loves the Father. They love us. And because they first loved us, we love them back in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're commanded to love one another. And by doing so, it shows the world who it is that we belong to. And that kind of love one to another is what is attractive. It's what is attractive to a lost and dying world. That's why he's talking about this being a new commandment, a new day, a new effect. It's going to have an effect on a world. It's going to have an effect on a lot of people if we do as we're supposed to. As he's commanding us to do here at this point. That kind of love that we are to show is attractive to the world and desirable. Does anybody here have irregular people in their life that are difficult to like, hard to love? Irregular people, you know what I'm talking about. Did you ever stop and think that to someone else in this room that you're that irregular person? Because when I said that, first of all, you had some people that come into mind, and it all wasn't the same one. You're that one that somebody has a hard time liking. You're that one that somebody has a hard time loving. I'm under no false illusions today. I know that there's people that have a hard time with me. I don't like that to be so, but I know that that is, in fact, the case. Everybody don't love me. I'm not the greatest thing since sliced bread, nor are you. Which makes us fit wonderful examples of what the Lord is trying to drive at with this passage right here. Not only do we need to put this out, we need it coming from the other direction too. Because we're not near as lovable as we think that we are. That's why the Lord asks every one of us to be a functioning part of a church. Not just an attending part. Not just a visiting part of the church, but a functioning part of the church. We need to get something out of the business end of the weed eater in order for some good things to take place. We are meant to be functioning parts of a church. Why do people visit churches for years? We have visitors that have been visiting this church for years. The reason that people visit churches rather than become a part of that church is so that nothing can be expected of them. If I'm not a functioning part of the church, no one can expect me to do the things that church is wanting to be done. And professional visitors can't be expected to contribute anyway now, can they? I tell you, we got a whole bunch of professional visitors, not just in this church, but we have professional visitors in churches all across this land. Professional visitors. Never plugged in, never functioning as part of the local body, never functioning as part of the church. We are commanded to compassionately and righteously seek the well-being of one another. Even when we don't like the other person, we are commanded to do so. We don't have to have an emotional attachment in order to accomplish this. And in the doing of those things, we show that we're different. You get it? In doing that, we show that we are different than the world at large. That we're outside of ourselves. See, this world operates on a me principle. It's all about me. What I want, what I need, what I can get, and how big I am, and how important I am. And everything orbits around me, the Son of Me. And when you begin to love the way the Lord has commanded us to love, which is outside of yourself, then the world that's around us notices that and sees that there's a difference in those people, that they love one another. They love one another. They're different. They're different. Their personalities are all different. The way they go about things is all different, but they love one another. How can that even be? They don't look alike, talk alike, walk alike, but yet they love one another. How can this possibly be? Now let's move over into 1 John for just a few minutes. First John chapter 2. I'm going to take a little trip down through several verses here. 1 John chapter 2, looking at verse 8. Again, he says, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So what this is telling us here is that if there's no love, there's no light. If there's no love, there's no light. And you're walking in darkness, is what he says. Without that love one to the other, that brotherly love that he's already begun to flesh out in the gospel there, if there is no love, there's no light. You are walking in darkness. Go down to verse 16, chapter 3. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, you can only lay your life down once, can you? It's not repeatable for us, is it? Huh? I mean, if I'm going to give my life, I'm going to have to pick somebody if I'm going to lay it down. Well, that's not exactly what it's trying to get at. Let's go to verse 17, get the rest of the story, shall we? But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Sharing life with each other. That's what this is talking about. It's talking about sharing life with each other. Abiding in God. We're talking about a flow vertically that affects a flow horizontally. It's abiding in God and sharing that on a horizontal plane. The vertical becoming horizontal at some point. What I get, I don't keep to myself. And when folk thank me for something that I've done, I glorify God in the fact that he provided in order that I could provide out here, you see. When I trap that to myself, then I become a reservoir. And now all of a sudden I have affected the flow that God wants to have between me and him. This love issue is a big deal. This love issue is a big deal in getting it right. And getting it in the right process and in the right way, in the right frame. And when we get that right and we understand that this is the blessings that I have are to be put out here, that we are to love one another with everything that we've been blessed with, because we're only here for a short time. And all this stuff that we get so hung up about is going to get left here anyway, right? And when we get it all in right perspective and we begin to use the things the way that God wants them to use, see, that has to come down through the carburetor. That carburetor of this old weed eater, that has to come down through here. There has to be a decision made about what I'm going to do with the supply that's come to me. You see, God brings the supply to me, but what I'm going to do with it now, I have to make a decision about. And the decision that He wants me to do is to be compassionate and righteously seek the well-being of others with what He has, what He's blessed me with. And when all of that works properly, then that attracts the lost world. That attracts people who don't have a sense of who and what God is about. If you give people more of you, you'll experience more of God. If you don't bottle up what comes to you and you allow that to go abroad, shed that abroad in your heart, then what that does is encourage the flow. It encourages the flow. Verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Was that not our scripture reading this morning? Huh? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Less talk, more action. What comes, shed it out, put it out. What comes, we put it out there. Love one another. If you're only here for you, your experience is going to be very limited this morning. So many times we say, I go to church because I need it. We get the idea that we come in here and it's all just about me and the individual part of me in all of this. It's much more than that. Church is much more than that, especially if you're functioning in the proper way. Because it's not just about you. There has to be an outlet for what you and the Lord have, and that's where the church comes in. There has to be much more than just this right here. There has to be an outlet for all of that. And the outlet for what the Lord is showing me and doing in my life sits right here. Look to your right and your left. That's the outlet for what God's showing you. And when you're functioning properly, decisions are made, the supplies come, and it goes right out to those that are your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're only here for you, that experience is going to be limited because there's no flow. There's no flow. Verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments. Boy, get a hold of that one. You see, what I just said there just a moment ago, it's not only for you, the experience with, if it's only for you, the experience with God's going to be limited. Do you see what that said? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments. Because we're keeping that love, we ask of Him. And so many times we keep asking and asking and asking and asking and asking, but we're not doing something with it, with what we get and passing along. We receive because we keep His commandments. It's conditional. And do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And so the provision so many times, so often that we're looking for, we're not receiving because we've got a little plugged up on the horizontal plane. We become that reservoir that we want me, 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 provide, give. I'm asking for me. I'm asking, I'm asking, I'm asking. But we're never moving things the way the Lord wants them moved. Is this making sense? Or are you going, oh me, or oh my? What are we doing this morning? And he that keepeth His commandment dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Is church the only place you can be fed the Word of God? Absolutely not. There's many sources that you can use to be fed the Word of God. You have a Bible. You can be anywhere you want to be and be fed from the Word of God. You can watch some TV preacher and be fed the Word of God. There's a lot of different sources, a lot of different places that you can get feeding from, get the Word of God fed to you from. But the beauty of the church is that not only does it feed you the Word of God, but it gives you a family to work out that love in. It gives you community to work out what you're learning in. And that's the design of the church. Yes, we're to disciple. Yes, we're to evangelize. But the number one thing that we're supposed to be about is loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And when all of these things line up, the church is the perfect place then. Perfect place. We get fed here, and we put it into practice here. This is the design of the church, to be fed and work it out in the same organism. 1 John 4, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Notice that God defines Himself as love there. He defines Himself as love. There can be no better thing than to be doing what He commands, because when we do what He commands, it connects us to who He is. It connects us to who He is when we decide to love as He's commanded us to do. Think about it. Doing what He is when you are most like Him. Doing what He is when you're the most like Him. He died for all men. Everywhere. He loved all men. He commands you to love all men. And when you do, you allow God to be Himself in you and through you. Verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Is anybody in here that's not messed up? My Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not a one of us in here that's not messed up. And there's not been anybody in here that's not messed up over and over and over and over and over and over. Oh, and over. This morning, we've all messed up. But this says that herein is our love. Look at verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Love casts out fear. What that tells me is that the highlight reel of our life needs a little more work. That judgment that we're looking for, that Bema judgment seat, that reward judgment that we're looking at one of these days, what that highlight reel could use is a little more love in it. That highlight reel that's going to be played in one day, one of those days, needs a little more work done to it. And the only way that that work's gonna be of any lasting value is if your heart's in it. You see, it's that decision again about love, that carburetor. Fuel's present, but until we decide, to push that fuel through to the places where the fire can ignite that and get something out the other end, it's that decision that's missing. It's that horizontal plane that's missing. I have no doubt that we have a lot of vertical Christians today. I've got a relationship, I'm saved, I know it, I'm good, I'm ready to rock, but the problem is that we're not letting that flow. The problem is that the horizontal plane is in trouble. And that's why so many vertical Christians get their feet knocked out from under them when crisis comes. Because it's limited. It's limited. There's nothing flowing. There's nothing life-giving. There's nothing new that is coming through to encourage and help that life. It's become stagnant. That old fuel in the line been in there for years. And that old fuel in the line is hard to get us, hard to take a spark. God wants us growing and growing and growing. And the only way to grow is to take what He gives and push it out. Push it out to those that are around us, to love one another the way that He wants us to do that. Look at verse 21. And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Are you constantly praying for just your own stuff? Constantly about the well-being of your own family and your own things? How about the well-being of your brother? How about the well-being of those that are around you? Maybe the pipeline's cut off because the horizontal relief valve is clogged up. Love gets prayers answered, is what that's telling me. Love gets prayers answered. And when you're loving as you've been commanded to love, then the flow is uninterrupted and moves out. Sometimes I get tired of pulling the string. I mean, that's just the nature of it. I'm messed up just like you. I want to see results. I want to do something. I want to knock the weeds down. Sometimes I just get tired of pulling the string. Pull and 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 pull again. And doesn't seem like anything's happening. But I guess I'll just keep pulling. I can see that there's gas going in there. And I guess that needs to be enough for me. Huh? So I'll just keep cranking. But here's what I'd invite you to do. I'd invite you to make a decision. The decision as to whether or not you're going to obey the commandment. You obey that commandment, there ain't no telling what we could get out of we could get out of this thing together. Ain't no telling what the Lord could do with all of us if we all decided that we was going to let things go the way they should. If we were going to turn it loose, I'm going to tell you what, we could knock some weeds down in Atkins. Huh? If we had some folks that just decide that they're going to love as they've been commanded to love. Love compassionately and righteously, seeking the well-being of one another. We need to open the reservoir of God's love, and we need it to start right here. Let me show you something else while I close up. I also recognize those of you that are our guests here today. We've got some business meetings after we finish here. We're going to take care of some church business. Got a budget we need to look at for the next year. And we also have some fellas that we're looking at bringing on as deacons here. And so It's one of the reasons that this kind of popped up in my studies this week, I'm sure. It's talking about this loving one another and how that's supposed to look. And it's also part of what was birthed on the back end of your bulletin there. I encourage you to read that. It tells you, give you a little more behind the scenes on this with all of that too. But let me keep some context with all of this too, because this love one another is great in a test tube, but now we're going to get to see how some of it works out. Taking a look at Acts in the early church, Acts chapter 2, I'm just going to read a couple of passages here and kind of segue into where we're headed a little bit today. So you bear with me, let the Lord work in your heart and life with these. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." This is a functioning church now. This is a functioning church that we have that is depicted right here. It is at the birth of the church. And a functioning church has come out of it. And here's how we know that it is functioning. "Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Do you see any love there? Love one to another in all of this? Let's take another look just a little further down the road from there. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 32. "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." See, I knew Jason and Missy were going to sell their house this week, and so I wanted to bring this up. Now, I just made light of something that was pretty serious, okay? And some serious things that were taking place in that first church in Jerusalem. Are we different than them? Buddy, we're not different like them. Huh? We're different from them because we're not different like them. "And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." See, all these disciples came in, all these folks came in from all over the world. They came for Passover. And what they got was much, much more in the bargain. When they got there, this whole drama with Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was playing out. And as a result of all of this having played out, it says that 3,000 souls were saved. Preaching of the word, the preaching of Peter went out with power and 3,000 folks saved. They were from all over. And the only way they could be discipled and taught was to stay where the apostles were so that they could impart to them what all this meant. And as they began to do that, they quickly understood, this is going to cost us. Those people had to eat. Those people had needs. And buddy, they broke open the storehouse and they gave everything they had. To keep them there long enough to teach them the basics of the doctrine of Christ, in order that they might go back to the places where they came from and be the missionaries that God had designed for them to be. In the fullness of time, he came. In the perfect time, he came. And now he's sending out, through missionary endeavor, all of these folks all across the world. And those in the Jerusalem church got it and loved like people ain't never been loved before. And if we could get a hold of that and love with that same kind of love rather than the different kind that we pat ourselves on the back for today, I wonder what kind of parts of the world could be reached from this place. I wonder. John 13:35 says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." Buddy, this is the sign. This is the thing that's going to set you apart. This is the thing that is going to show folks there's a new day. If you have love one to another, this world will know that you're my disciples. It's obvious when there ain't no gas in the line. It's all talk and no show. How did God design for you to show your love? Through the family. Through the church. You get fed here. You get cranked here. And you decide if fuel goes through that carburetor or not. You decide if the fuel gets to where action can take place. That's your decision today. And I can't make it for you. The only thing that would hinder you from making a proper decision today was the fact that maybe you didn't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I suspect that there may be some in here today that have never come to the place of understanding that the pardon and forgiveness of sin is necessary in order for a life to be equipped to live life fully. If you're born again, saved here today, you've been given everything. Every opportunity, every possibility, everything you need to serve the Lord for the rest of your days. If you're not born again, you're not equipped. You're not ready. And so, a couple of things, a couple of different tracks here this morning. If you're one of those that have never seen the value of giving your heart to the Lord, I would say to you that you just haven't been honest with yourself, number one. Because handing over the reins of your life to Him is a lesson in eternity. If you've not done that, we'd encourage you to do so. I highly recommend Him. He's been a good boss. He's been a good king for me. And I am highly blessed for having had the Lord in my life. I highly recommend Him. Maybe some of you here today that have kind of stopped up the lines. Oh, everything's fine between me and the Lord, but yet you and your brother are miles apart. Huh? Going to be stunted in your growth. Going to be stunted in anything to do with the Lord. Two tracks. If you're lost, get saved today. And if you're saved, make a decision today. You see, preaching requires a response, else it's not preaching. I preach so that you have opportunity to respond what the Lord shows you through the Scriptures. Has He showed you your lost condition? Respond. Has He shown you that your love is remiss? Then respond. Respond. You can do that in a number of ways. You can do that sitting right where you're sitting. And I hope some of you already have. You can do that at an old-fashioned altar. There's something about making your way to a place that's dedicated for decisions that sometimes has a way of sealing a deal. I encourage that. Whatever it is that the Lord would lead you to do, that's what I encourage you to do this morning. Get on track and let's get moving. Let's get some weeds down. Amen. Get you out of the weeds if you're in the weeds, and then let's get them weeds down for somebody else. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to stand in this room today. We thank you for the opportunity to stand for you. Lord, you stood up under all kinds of things in order that you might show your love for us. And Lord, we do not wish to trample underfoot the blood of Christ today. Help us to be about your business. Help us to see things differently today. Help us to be different. And Lord, we know that starts with decisions. Lord, for those that have, even as they're standing here today, decided that you're the way, you're the truth, and you're the life, I pray, God, that you'd give them courage to take feet to that. Lord, that you'd help them to respond at this invitation. Lord, we'd ask you for those that are now seeing more clearly about this love issue. Lord, I would ask you to, Father, help your church become a functioning church. A functioning church. So now, Lord, we ask you to have your way, for we pray it in Jesus' name and amen. Mm-hmm.